Started. Hello and welcome. Glory to God, for He is good and His love endureth forever. And my name is Pastor Josh Pan. Thank you for planting the seeds of the gospel and saving more souls by sharing this video so people can say yes to Jesus forever. Jesus first forever. So do me a favor, smash that like button, that thumbs up, let me know you're here, and type Jesus forever, because He's our God, our King, first forever. I'm going to go live stream right here also, online, on here, on my phone, so I can get more traction. Right now, my TikTok is still banned, so right now I can't go live, but it will be live on the 19th, so 2 more days. So, Jesus forever. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Alright. But, you know, God cannot be stopped. God will continue His journey, His mission, no matter what. And we're just talking about how good, how amazing our God is. And welcome, we're going to have a daily devotion today. And it's going to be an amazing passage on Elijah, one of the best prophets, most faithful prophets that God has raised for the nation of Israel, which has snowballed into an evil nation as they worship the false gods and false idols. And it snowballed from one king to another from King Jeroboam. And it was just a wicked, wicked nation at this time when Elijah appears. And we can see how Elijah, he was there in a drought where there was little food and little flour and oil and those things that God actually provided for him when there was a drought, when people were hungry, people were thirsty, yet God still provided for him. And He also raised a son of the widow just now in the past passage. So now we get to look into how God is still in charge and over it all. And we're going to be looking into 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 15. But first, let's see. Let's look into this passage, and let's ask some questions to introduce us to this passage. One major question is that a lot of people have is, does God really exist? And is there truly a supreme being who is living and watching over us all the time? Have this earth and universe been created by a being with unlimited power, which is omnipotent, and perfect knowledge, unlimited knowledge, omniscient? And if there truly is a living God, how do we know Him personally? How can we get to know this one true God? Can we really discover Him and learn about Him? So these are real questions, right, Verman? These are questions that people ask in order to question the existence of life. And so we get to dig into this. And this much we do know. We cannot enter into the spiritual world, the spiritual dimensions of the being, in order to be discovered, in order to discover if God truly exists. Because we are physical, material beings. We are tied down to time, matter, and space. While God isn't, He is bigger than that. So in order to discover if God truly does exist, you must create and live by faith and not by sight. So, no matter how far and fast you travel, no matter what your state of mind is, you are still a human being in this physical world. And your life, really, on this earth, it's so short. 100 years goes by so fast. And that is why you must, absolutely must, be crucial and intentional in your relationship with the one true God. And something that you do know is that if there is a God who left us in the dark, ignorant of His existence, unaware of where we came from and where we're going, then we would be lost. We would not know what would be expected of us. And He would not be a God of love instead of God of hate. But we know that our God is a God of love. And our God, He never lets us down. And our God really provides everything that we need in order to go through our life and to glorify Him and bring a life. Oh, well, let me check. There, I just I just did something for the microphone, just got it back. Is this more louder and clearer? Yes, it is. Well, glory to God, for He is good. Yeah, I know it's pretty loud, but hey, let's just move it out a little bit. So we must, absolutely must know that there is one true God, and that is God Himself that we are learning about as the prophet of Elijah brings forth the truth. Elijah is a man of God, and he really wants you and me to be encouraged and to be brought into the presence of our Lord, our God. And if there is a God of love, then this God would enlighten you about your very own existence, why you were created. Because our God is the creator, and you are the creation. And He created you for a purpose. He created you for to be fruitful and multiply. He created you for meaning. And so, in order to find what truly is your purpose, you must know who our creator is and ask Him and come before Him. It said too loud, too loud. Let me bring it down a bit, alright? But I just praise God. There we go. Oh, it's still red, still red. Test, test, test. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Is it better? Is it better? Is it better? Okay, so all the red should be gone. Well, some of the red. But hey, it's all good. So this God that we have in our life, He reveals Himself to you. He shows you the way through life. He shows you the truth about life. And if there's something wrong with your life in our society, in our earth, which we know there is, because we're living in brokenness, we're living in time of turmoil and war, a time of injustice. And that's because there is the greed and sin of human being, the brokenness of the world. And so, Abram, you don't have to count, because later on, it's going to be only 10 people, maybe 5 people, maybe 2 people. But by the grace of God, there are the loyal people who actually listen and actually really long for the word of God. And that's what exactly God wants to, the people God wants to minister to. And so we praise God, for He is good and He never lets us down. And happy Friday, guys. Happy Friday. Because you guys have a weekend and I get to lead the youth group and preach online and preach offline. So welcome, everyone. And here's the wonderful news, that our God is a God of love who revealed Himself to you through Jesus Christ. Because for God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son, whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Amen. He came from heaven to earth, to in the flesh, from divine to human, so that you may have a chance to go from human to here, earth, to heaven. And this is the one and true living God, the Lord God Himself, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, El Shaddai, God Almighty. He's a God of perfect love, agape love, unconditional love. He's a God of mercy and justice. And this is a great lesson of the present passage of scripture that we are going to be looking into. And this is going to be talking about the end of the drought after Elijah contests with the prophets of Baal, which we will see during the weekend, proving who the true living God is. So in this first this passage in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 16, it's going to be the end of the drought promised by the Lord, not Baal. God alone has the power to meet desperate needs. And then number 2, the encounter between Elijah and King Ahab, who is an evil king. And it was worked out by God, not Baal. So God alone is sovereign. God alone is sovereign. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord Himself, not the false god Baal, not the false idols, promised to end the drought and famine. And note that the drought and famine had swept over the land for almost 3 years. By now, the entire nation was in desperate straits, and on many on the verge of starvation and death, and perhaps some already starved to death. But despite the severity of the drought and famine, Ahab and the people of the northern kingdom did not turn to the Lord for help. There was no record of them being willing to repent of their sinful ways, wicked ways, and no record of their willingness
to turn away from idolatry and false worship, to begin worshiping the one true God with all their heart, genuinely. Nevertheless, the Lord God was ready to prove that He alone, not their false gods, could meet their desperate needs. He alone is merciful and compassionate. The Lord our God, He commanded Elijah the prophet to go present himself to King Ahab, and for this time it was the Lord to send rain upon the land. And this was a time for famine to end, for the needs of people to be met. And in obedience, Elijah, he left to confront the king. In verse 1, which says, "It came to pass, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go and show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.'" Isn't it great to see that God, He still cares? Yet, even though we were sinners, even though we rejected Him, God still cares about each and every one of you guys and still fighting for you, even when we don't deserve it, because He loves you and cares for you. And you see, in contrast of the false gods, the Lord God Himself, Yahweh, He arranged an encounter between Elijah and Ahab. And for some time, God has been moving events to arrange this encounter and by working things out for His prophet to meet the king. And God proved that He alone is sovereign. He alone controls the events of the world and the affairs of man, not mankind, not the devil. No, God alone, He is sovereign and He controls all things. He is in control. No matter how far-fetched this situation may seem, God is still in control. And that's why I don't worry about the news. I don't worry about the wars going on. I don't worry about politics. I know that my God is in control and He forever will reign. And there's no one else like our God. Praise the Lord. He alone controls the events of the world and the affairs of the government, state, school. He is in charge. And no matter what happens, He is beyond, He is in full control. And He will not let anything go wrong for us. Amen. So let's look into this passage of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 to 15. I'm going to read the whole passage, 15 verses, and then we're going to study it and unfold the mysteries of this passage. And you're going to want to stay to the very end as we go through the verses and be empowered by God, and as God transforms your life and lets you know who He is and know His power. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Lord, You are so good, so amazing, and we just pray that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit would be in this place so that they may be empowered. Each and every one of my brothers and sisters would be empowered and would understand who You are. I love you guys. We love you guys. God loves you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I love you too. Amen. So, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He said to go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah, he went to present himself to Ahab, the king. Now, the famine in the land was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. And Obadiah, he was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel, he was killing off the Lord's prophet, and Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hid them in 2 caves, 50 in each, for in case that they find one cave, then they still have 50, right? So he hid them and supplied them with food and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go to the land, to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any of our animals." So they divided the land they were to cover, and Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in the other. And as Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. And Elijah recognized Elijah and bowed down to the ground, and he said, "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" And he said, "Yes." He replied, "Go tell your master that Elijah is here. Elijah is here." And he said, "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah. "That you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death. And as surely as the Lord your God lives, there will be not one nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And wherever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now tell me to go to my master and say, 'Elijah is here.' I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you, but if I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, my God, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you go tell me to my master and say, Elijah is here and he will kill me. Elijah says, as the Lord Almighty live, whom I serve, I will surely present myself to Ahab today. Wow, we can see how there in between two worlds, God sends Elijah to search for Ahab. And as he goes, he meets Obadiah, the palace administrator. And Obadiah, he's a God man serving in the godless. He was a godly man serving in the godless administration. And one can only imagine the struggles and temptation he faced each and every day. And yet, this servant of God, Obadiah, remains faithful, risking his life to protect and provide the prophets for the prophets of the God. There was 100 prophets, right? And he divided them in caves and he gave them food and water and supplied all their needs. He hid them. And this was against what Jezebel wanted, who was killing off the prophets. And yet, this servant of God remains faithful, risking his life to provide for the prophets of God. And sometimes God places you or his people, believers, in difficult places of service and places where we struggle with ungodliness and evil all around us. But God uses these times to strengthen your faith, to grow your character. And it may not be easy, but it is so worth it when you are grown in the work and the will of God, in the strength of God. And God will use your faithfulness to accomplish his kingdom purpose. His kingdom is coming. His kingdom is here on earth. And his kingdom will prevail because God is victorious and he is victorious over all. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is here with us, moving. And you may be in a difficult situation, but by the grace of God, he is using this situation to build you up, to lift you up, to allow you to grow, and to allow you to build a stronger faith, a stronger mindset, in order to stand firm in the strength of our Father Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's faith, and there's fear, and fear is trumped over. And faith trumps fear. Fear is eradicated by our faith. Because my faith is so strong, I have no fear of the devil. I have no fear of the future being bad. I have no fear of God losing because he is victorious. And we cannot blame Obadiah for being afraid. He knows how wicked and ruthless his boss can be. King Ahab, Jezebel, they are ruthless. And knowing he will have to face Ahab with the news of Elijah's arrival, man, that's mind-blowing, that's scary. But by the grace of God, it gave him the ability to continue forward strong and without any doubt that he is still doing the works of God. And so he had to face Ahab to deliver the news of Elijah's arrival. Elijah, who was in hiding, who was far away, because he knew that he delivered a message to Ahab about the drought. And he knew that he was a godly man and Ahab was an evil man. And so Elijah gathered the strength to even appear before King Ahab by his obedience to God. And Obadiah, he appeals to the prophet Elijah, not to disappear and to place him into trouble. Elijah assures Obadiah that he can count on him to meet with Ahab, that he will be faithful to his promise. And Elijah meets Obadiah's fear with a reliable promise that Obadiah knows he can take Elijah at his word. In the community of faith, we are to use our words to edify one another, to encourage each other, to lift each other up, so that we do not bring each other down. We do not condemn each other. We are here to bring each other life. We're here to be dependable people whose promises, whose words can be counted on. And this is how we encourage one another to build our communities of faith amidst a faithless world. We are the light of the world, and we shine as Jesus, how God shined, because He lives in us, and He with us everywhere we go, and we know that He is victorious over all. Amen, amen, Harry, amen. Praise the Lord. So let's see, let's look into these verses to see what it actually means. So we can see how Elijah and Obadiah has a dialogue here. And they are just going back and forth, and Obadiah was scared. But his fear was like down, it was just like eradicated when he heard from Elijah, who spoke truth into him and who edified him and encouraged him. So that same fear, you don't have to hold on to, because I'm telling you that our God is more powerful, He's smarter, and He's all present. He is the God that we serve, and He's the one that protects and provides for each one of us. Amen? So, a lesson that we can learn from this is that the Lord alone can meet the needs of a desperate man, the agonizing cries of a human heart when confronted with terrible crisis. I don't know if you're going through something difficult, but I know I went through difficult things. I know there are a lot of difficulties and addictions and just worthlessness out in the world, lies in our head that we're trying to overcome, whether it's relational, financial, whether it's in education, whether it's in your workplace, in your family, it could be anywhere. But God hears your cries. You see, medical doctors can usually help you when you are sick. Even when you're facing terminal illness, they can generally help ease the pain and frequently prolong your life nowadays. But only for a while. That's only temporarily. Their help only delays, never stops the inevitable day of death. You see, one day we're all going to die. We're all going to pass away. And the 100 years that we live on earth, or shorter, it's going to determine where we end up for eternity. Whether it's in we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and follow after Him, then we will go and have an eternal relationship with Him. But if we reject Jesus and say no to Him, then we're going to end up in eternal separation from God. Which, where there's no more love, where there's no water, there's it's just pain and sorrow. So, that's why it's so important that we repent and walk in the ways of our Lord our God. Amen. Counselors and friends, they can help you when you're facing disability, emotional difficulties, divorce, financial problems, guilt, or even severe crisis. But counselors and friends can never bridge the gap of alienation between God and man. They can never grant man the peace and firm assurance of having never to die. You see, we as Christians, we live, we know that death is not the end, yet we know that death is the beginning of eternal life, eternal presence of God in our life. Death is just the beginning, but to live is to Christ. To live is Christ, and to die is to gain. That means when we live for Christ, we live for God, and we live to bring others to a relationship with Jesus and say, Jesus forever. Amen. And then when we die, we're going to gain so much more than the world can ever offer. And so that's why we have to, absolutely must, walk in the ways of the Lord our God. We can never grant a man peace and firm assurance of never having to die. Thus, this desperate need for reconciliation with God, for being perfect, it's assured that we are acceptable to Him through the blood of Christ. When we live in Him, we will live with Him forever. And that can only be met by God. And so when we were created to have an intimate relationship with God. But sin came into the world, and it separated us from God. No matter what we did, we could not get past this barrier, past this wall, because it was too powerful. Sin was too powerful. We cannot work our way or buy our way into heaven, into a relationship with God. But God so loved the world that He sent His one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. Glory to God. Trucker Zach. Amen. And yeah. Shelley says, Thank you for prayers for my daughter, Alexis. God has answered. Jesus answered. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Cherry Pop, I got your Instagram message. Yeah, good to see you. And glory to God. And I'm glad that you're here again, that you're able to hear the word of the Lord and also be equipped and stay strong in Him. Do not fear, for God is with you. And so, moreover, God can meet the cries of a human heart for meaning and purpose, for a sense of security and fulfillment, a conquering, victorious spirit that triumphs over all hardships, misfortune, temptation of this life can only come from who? Come from the Lord our God, Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh, El Shaddai, Jesus, our Holy Spirit. And when we face desperate, dire situations in our life, it's not the end. It's only temporary. The Lord alone can help you. And this is a wonderful message that is for you, that the Lord will help you in the hour of need, when you're in pain, when you're lost, when you're just going through difficulties. And this is a wonderful promise for His, through His holy word. Amen. Now this, you want to listen to the Bible verses because it's going to help you so much. In John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe His name. Wow. God gave you the power, the right to become the sons of God, to become made equal. Well, not equal, but more like to made His child. So you can call Him your Heavenly Father. And if He's your Heavenly Father, then you and I, we are siblings. You're my brother and sister in Christ. And not only that, but we have direct access to our Father in heaven. And so, our Father in heaven, He's all-powerful. He's all-knowledge, knows everything, wisdom, infinite amount of wealth. This is our God. And He has good things to give each and every one of us. So, that is why we root ourselves into His word, into His will. Because we know that He's got good promises for you. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Harry, you can add me on Instagram or Snap. Yes. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will no longer hunger. And he who believes in me will no longer thirst. Wow. He's the bread of life. This is not just talking about the physical. It's talking about the spiritual. He's the bread of life. The bread of life. Not the bread of death. No. You eat bread to live, right? Life. And you have life in Him. No longer do you have to die. No longer do you have to be separated from God. Because He is the bread of life. Type bread of life. Because He is the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger. And shall never thirst. Because you have everything that you need in God. And God, He does forgive your sins. He does bring you back into His presence. When you confess your sin. And He gives you strength to keep you away. And repent from sin, from temptation. Amen. He knows what you're going through. And so His rod, His staff, comforts you. Amen. John chapter 12, verse 46. He says, I am the light into this world, and whoever believes on me shall not abide in darkness. He says, I have come as light into this world, so anyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. Say, I remain in the light. I'm not in the darkness. I am in light. And when you're in the light, then you're in security. When you're in the light, you're in His one. When you're in the light, then you also reflect His light and shine His light to other people. So you are the light of the world. Say, I am the light of the world. Amen. Glory to God. So you are the light of the world. So there is no doubt that God comes to be a light for us. a light in this darkness, dark world. And as the world becomes darker and darker, God, Jesus, becomes brighter and brighter. He shines brighter and brighter. Amen. So praise the Lord, for He is good. And so we never, never have to doubt that He won't come through. God, our God is a God of breakthrough. Our God is a God of glory. Our God is a God who cares and loves you and wants you to have good things. So, praise the Lord. I returned my other microphone. Didn't like it. The Shure SMB-D70D. But I'm just using this for now, and then I ordered another one. So, we'll see how it goes. John chapter 14, verse 12 to 2. It says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, and believe also in me. In my Father's house, there's many, many dwelling places. If it were not, so I would have told you. So, for I go prepare a place for you." Okay, so, guys, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. A lot of people's hearts are really troubled, really anxious, depressed, going through difficult things right now. But he wants to say, rest assured, I have everything prepared for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Whoa. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I thought, in my Father's house are many rooms. But it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go prepare a place for you. And Jesus, He prepares a place for you. Isn't that great? That not just a room, not just a house, but a mansion. You're going to be in a better place one day in heaven. And that's just like, wow. Why would He prepare such a great place for me? I'm so insignificant. I'm so small. I'm just one out of 7 billion people here. Yet He cares about my soul, my life. This is the same God. Oh, this God that loved me and cares for me. That's amazing. Let that sink in. Say, I have a mansion. I have a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go prepare a place for you. So, if Jesus is saying, if my Father's house does not have a mansion prepared for you, I will go forth and I will prepare that place for you. Jesus prepares for you, amen. So, this mansion, what does it imply for your life? I believe that when you live by faith and you know what God has given you, something greater than what the world can offer, materialistic things, then you can see that my life is secured in His ways, in His name, in the walk with Him. I know that I can find my security in Him, and my hope is in Him. I can praise Him all the days of my life because of what He's given me, and not because of what the world gives me, what the world defines for me. No, I don't let the world say who I am. I let God say who I am. The world says, you're worthy, you're not good enough. But God says, I'm worthy, I'm good enough. The world says, you're not big enough. God says, well, if you're not big enough, you humble yourself, I will exalt you, make you bigger. Hey? When the world says, it's hopeless, you're a goner, you can't do anything. God says, well, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and I will give you the way. You have hope, you have direction, and I will teach you. And I am the God of unlimited wealth, unlimited knowledge, unlimited power. And you just need to tap into me, accept my gift to you. I want to live in you. I have given you the Holy Spirit to be your friend, to be your guide, to be your wonderful counselor. I have given the Holy Spirit to you to live in you. The Holy Spirit is God. Who empowers you? Who makes you whole? Who is the God that you need in your life. Amen? So that's why we must, absolutely must, rely on Him, trust in Him, have faith in Him, and live by faith and not by sight. Amen? So do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. In Jesus. In my Father's house are many nations, many mansions. Wow. Amazing. Guys, this is great. And that's just the beginning, guys. There's still so much more to touch on. So much more verses, guys. Wow. I'm just going to go through it. But I have to go at in 30 minutes because I must go eat with my wife who has... who can't eat at home, so I have to go out to eat some pho with her, you know, some noodles, Vietnamese noodles. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Yes, we wave our hands and we shout, yes, Jesus, you're so good. It says, we know that God causes all things to work together for His good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His good purposes. Amen. God works everything for good, to them who love God, and to them who call according to His purpose. Great, praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you, but it is as common as man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation, it will provide a way of escape too. He will provide you a way of escape too. You can flee from it. You can run away from it. You can overcome it so that you will be able to endure it and persevere so that you may be able to bear it. Amen. He gives you a path. He gives you a way. Even though there was the fear of Goliath in front of David, God did not keep David away from Goliath. No, God had David go into the presence of Goliath, the presence of danger. And He was with David as he fought the giant. He was with Daniel as he went into the lion's den. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego when they went into the burning fire. He was with us when we go through this difficult time. He didn't prevent us from going into the fire, into the storm, into the lion's den. He didn't prevent us to face this giant. No. He is with us in the midst of these difficult situations and circumstances. He is with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, for momentarily light affliction is producing for you eternal weight of glory beyond all imagination. Light affliction. This light affliction, this life, it's a light affliction. It means it's not hard, guys. Well, it may seem difficult, but it's more difficult in hell. It's more difficult there. But for this brief life, the work that you do and the reward that you get is far more exceedingly and beyond the comparison of the eternal weight of glory that one day you will be within. Amen. God is my Savior. He's the one in my prayers. And He's the one in my mind. And I praise Him all the days of my life. And say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For wow. The eternal weight of glory. Think about it. The eternal weight of glory. The glory that God has is infinite amount of glory. That eternal weight of glory will just, wow, be overwhelming. Wow. That's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. You can only imagine how good God's glory is. And because of His glory, we now live in His glory. When we live by faith, we have faith that we are going to be in His glory. Then we just live in His glory. Why not now? Why not live in His victory now? Amen. So now, we live from victory to victory, not victory to defeat. We live from season to season in victory to victory, glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. We continue to walk in the ways of our God. knowing that this eternal weight of glory is going to be so amazing, far exceedingly above you can ever imagine, far beyond all comparison. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfect. For power is perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." I boast about my infirmities. I boast about my weakness. I boast about my shortcomings. And I stay humble, stay small, and recognize who's the bigger man, who's the almighty God, who is over it all. He's the one, the power of Christ may rest upon you, may dwell in you. When you recognize, you know, a lot of people, they don't grow because they don't recognize their shortcomings. They don't address their weakness. And they just let it be. They don't address the things that's distracting them, the things that's bringing them down, the things that's wasting their time. They don't address it. Instead, they just let it be. Instead, they're just ignorant. But if you truly want to grow, then you must be aware. You must get down a paper and say, okay, this is what's wasting my time, and this is what's going well, and this is what I want to happen. And then slowly try to work on praying and eradicating what's wasting your time, and then keep on doing what's good, and then start implementing things that you want, the ideal life that you want, the ideal traits that you want in your life, the ideal knowledge that you want. And of course, you have to pray to God to help you cut those things, delete those things out of your life, so that you don't have to deal with it anymore. So that you can lessen the burdens that's upon you because of these things that's wasting your time and distracting you. Amen? So that's why we must evaluate our life. And also bring it up and lift it up to God. And say, God, this is my weakness. Use it. Transform it. Your power is made perfect in my weaknesses. So Lord, my speech is not good, but I know you can change that. And lo and behold, now I'm speaking to you guys. Glory to God. My hearing is not there. Terrible. I have hearing aid. And then I was born with hearing aid. Severe hearing loss. That means I cannot hear 70 to 80% of the things that are being said verbally. But by God's grace, He helped me be able to practice my speech. He helped transform me through the reading of the Word of God. He equipped me with clear communication with you, because I'm a man of few words. I like to be straightforward. But of course, that's a flavor different from other people. And He uses my weakness in order to bring His glory out. And it's just a testimony. Your weakness is a testimony of how God still built you up and still made you into someone that you would never have imagined by His transformation and by His power. So you, your strength is made perfect through Christ. And may the power of Christ dwell in your life and rest upon you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. It says, "Therefore, he had been made like his brothers and sisters, or brethren, in all things, so that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in all pertaining to God." So who? Jesus had been made like his brothers, or like human, so that Jesus may become merciful and faithful high priest. Because Jesus is the most high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make the propitiation for the sins of the people, to make reconciliation for the people, to reconcile you, to redeem you, to bring you back into His presence. Praise the Lord. and he himself has suffered being tempted, and he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Those who are tempted. You have an idea. You have to start a question section, Pastor. Thank you for the idea. Amen. So, Jesus, he came from heaven to earth so that you can go from earth to heaven, so that you may overcome the sin and temptation, so that you no longer have to be drawn down by the slavery of sin and death. Now you're alive and reconciled and brought back into his presence. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you resist the devil and you say no to the devil, what will happen? He will walk away from you? No, he says he will flee from you. He will run away from you. So you have to submit yourself, therefore, to God in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself to God. How do you submit yourself to God? You have to use it. Not only in your head, I submit myself to God, but also you have to speak it. When you speak it, that's your faith moving your mouth. If you believe faith can move the mountains, then you must speak it. If you believe faith can move the mountains, how can it not move your mouth? It must move your mouth because faith is voice activated, guys. Faith is voice activated. It's the power of spoken word. When you speak it, then that faith is actually resounding in our mind, in our hearts, in our ears, and around us. And not only that, but it's also resounding here online, here echoing. And you guys are hearing my faith in God, and I'm speaking it. I'm speaking it. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm rooting myself upon his firm foundation. I'm committed. I'm dedicated. And I'm saying that same dedication and commitment you can grasp. And when you submit yourself to God and say, I'm committed to God all the days of my life, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, then the devil will be like, oh man, this godly man. And he will actually run from you. You resist the devil and his temptation. That's what Jesus did. He resisted the devil. And then the devil left. You are given this power in your life by Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit to resist the devil, to say no to the devil, and say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke the devil to get out of this room. This house is the house of the Lord, and this house will be the house where we praise and give glory to God forever and ever. Amen. This live stream is for God and God alone. It's not for myself, not to make my name great. It's to make his name great. May he increase and I decrease. May he be made known and I just be a servant, be ambassador, be a part of his kingdom. May his will be done and not my will. May his thoughts, his ways, his plans come to fruition in my life, because it is higher than my ways, my thoughts. And see, that humble heart allows others to grasp the glory of God and to grasp the importance of God, and to allow him to transform not only your life, but others, and allow you to actually trample upon the devil, allow you to populate heaven and to plunder hell, allow you to say, I am living in the light of God, and I will fear no evil, because my God is with me in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he is over all depression and all anxiety. He is over it all in Jesus' name. I rebuke all that. No negative thoughts and emotion, no more, in the name of Jesus. Because my God is a God who prospers and is of success and of everything I need. I have everything I need when I walk in his ways. I don't need nothing else. I don't have needs. I meet needs in the name of Jesus, because Jesus met my need, because Jesus already given it to me. I don't need breakthrough. God already gave me breakthrough. So now I carry breakthrough, and I carry that and point others to Jesus, to God, who truly loves us. Amen? So, we are transformed by God, and we are elevated by Him. But you absolutely must stay humble and know who the Creator is. Know who's the one that gave you life and gave you these gifts. Do not start worshiping the gifts that God gave you. Don't stop worshiping that. Too many people do that. You have to worship the giver of the gift all the days of your life, every second, every minute, every time you're awake. Just give thanks. Lord, thank you for the food. Thank you for a beautiful wife or spouse. Thank you for my children. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time where we're able to interact with Pastor Josh and with each other. I'm thankful for each and every one of you guys. So we praise God for that. Amen. So glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you, and see you later, and for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering, the same suffering of Christ, and keep on rejoicing even when you're suffering, so that you may have the revelation of His glory, that you may rejoice with exultation. Why do you suffer? You suffer because you know that this is suffering is only temporary, and God is eternal. God is the one who wipes all tears away from our eyes. And there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. And 2 Chronicles, Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, this land needs healing. God needs to come back into our government. God needs to come back into our state. God needs to come back into our school system. God needs to come back into our family system. God needs to come back because He's the one that unifies, that heals, that's for us and not against us. We call upon His name because He's the good God. And we seek His face. We pray every day. And we do not turn away from Him. Amen. Glory to God. And you ask, how do I walk with Him? Do you have the Bible? Do you have the Bible app? Do you have the Word of God? You can download the Bible app, YouVersion, and read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Get to know who Jesus is. Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. Jesus is the God who came from heaven to earth to represent, to show the way. Jesus is the one that you should listen to. Get to know Him. Have a relationship with Him. And you have to spend time and energy in the Word of God. The four autobiographies of Jesus in the New Testament. Read it, study it, memorize it, ingrain it in your heart, and walk in His ways. And then, not only is that self-studying and growing, but also community. You no longer have to live in isolation. Isolation is a trap of the devil. I've been in isolation before, so I preach against isolation. I preach for community, for building God's kingdom. Community. It's so important. Community where they love the Lord, walk in His ways. Community where they reflect Jesus' love. Not in a community where you get abused. A community where you are lifted up and encouraged and built up. And where people are willing to come alongside you, not to criticize you, but to say, I'm here for you. I'm here for the oppression of the poor. I'm here for the sighing of the needy. I'm here for the lost. For the broken. For now I will arise, saith the Lord, and I will set him free in safety from him that puffs him, that hurts him. That's Psalm chapter 12, verse 5. Whew, God is good. There's still more, guys. Call upon me in the middle of the day, in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. When the poor and needy seek water, there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them, and I, God of Israel, will not forsake them. Amen. Now, we're getting to the meat of the passage. That's just the beginning, guys. Aren't you excited? Wow. So, here, from verse 2 to 16, we just went through verse 1. Verse 2 to 16, we can see how Elijah and Ahab, they worked out. They encountered the Lord. And God is alone. He is sovereign. And he's the one that made a way. And sometime earlier, God placed Obadiah, a strong, faithful believer, in Ahab's court. And Ahab was the manager of the royal palace, which meant that he was the chief administrator and steward to the king's properties. And this was an important position that termed the state minister of the state, who served as the personal representation or representative of the king. And some commentators feel that this position was second in command to the king. To stress Obadiah's commitment to the Lord, scripture tells us that he risked his own life to save what? To save 100 godly prophets from Jezebel's bloody purge of God's servant. Remember that this infamous wife, Jezebel, was the wife of Ahab, who he married from a foreign nation, and who worshipped Baal. And apparently Jezebel had launched a murderous campaign against Lord's prophets, seeking to kill them all in order to eliminate the worship of Yahweh, the Lord, throughout the land. And doing all that he could, Obadiah sought to save 100 prophets by hiding them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and providing food and water for each one of them. And almost after three years, the effects of famine was reaching in the royal courts. And for that reason, Ahab sent Obadiah on a desperate search to find pasture land for the royal horses and mules in order to keep them from starving. Dividing the land between himself and Obadiah, Ahab went in one direction and Obadiah went in the other direction. And God, he had arranged the events so Obadiah's and Elijah's path would cross. And as Obadiah was walking along, he suddenly saw and recognized Elijah approaching him. And he could hardly believe his eyes. He was shocked, like, "Whoa, Elijah, you're the prophet of the Lord. You're right here in my presence." So glory to God. And when they finally reached each other, Obadiah humbled himself by bowing to the ground out of respect to God's prophet. With a sense of urgency, Elijah immediately charged Obadiah to go and summon King Ahab to meet him. But stricken by fear, Obadiah sensed that Elijah's command would have meant a certain death for himself. And Obadiah knew that Ahab might think that he had been hiding Elijah from the king, for Ahab has been making desperate and thorough search for Elijah, a search that he reached into every nation and kingdom. And Obadiah knew that the Spirit of the Lord might call Elijah to go elsewhere, but Elijah, he said, "I'm not going to be running away." Elijah assured that he wouldn't be there when Ahab arrived, and the result would be a catastrophe if Elijah was not there when Ahab was summoned. For Ahab's anger would be aroused and he would possibly even execute Obadiah. Thus, Obadiah pleaded with Elijah to excuse him from this dangerous task, and he informed Elijah that he had already risked his life enough by saving the prophets from Jezebel's bloody purge. Pleading with all his heart, he told Elijah that if he reported the prophet's whereabouts to Ahab, then failed to produce him, it would mean a certain death for him. Elijah, he assured Obadiah by swearing an oath that he would remain there to confront the king Ahab that day. Being assured, Obadiah carried the challenge to Ahab, and the king accepted the challenge, and he immediately went to confront Elijah, the prophet of the Lord. Wow. There's something to be learned here, ladies and gentlemen. What do we want to learn here? He says, the Lord, God, he is sovereign, and he alone has the power to move events to accomplish his purpose, and he alone can work things out to fulfill his promises in your life. God has the absolute power throughout the whole universe by controlling all events, including the affairs of men and people around you. Therefore, nothing happens that God does not allow to happen.
But in thinking about the sovereignty of God, we must remember three facts. That number one, God also gave you free will. God gave you free will to choose what you want to do. He allows you to exercise your free will to do what you want, when you want, where you want. And God allows you to have this free will. But your free will, your action, is limited. God allows you to go only so far before He steps in and stops you. And this means that every movement, every thought, every event that happens to you, although it's known to God, is not minutely actively caused by the maneuvering of God. You might be like, yeah, God ain't in control of me. No. This means that every movement, every thought, every event that happened to us, although known to God, is not actively caused by Him. Again, God allows you to exercise your free will. Thank you, God, for free will. To think, to reach out your arms in any given moment, to act within the bounds of your capabilities. But the very source of your mind and your body is God. God is the one that gave you your mind. God's the one that gave you your body. He's the one that gave you free will to do whatever you want with the body that you desire. And pray not. He wants you to walk in the righteous path. He wants you to walk in His goodness. He wants you to be loving Him. He created you to have intimate relationship with Him. He created you to build your life upon His firm foundation. He created you for a greater purpose, to share in His glory, to walk in His ways. And that's why it's so important that we choose God and not reject Him with our free will. Amen. Free will is a great thing. We have the free will to worship Him as we're not robots. If we don't have free will, we're like animals, we're like just be predictable, then we're robots. But when we have free will, we have a choice. And you have a choice to be committed to God or not to be committed to Him. So we must remember the fact as well, in the exercise of your free will, you bear the consequences for your own actions. And one of the most basic principles of life ordained by God is this: you reap what you sow. God is in total control, but He has ordained that we have free will and that you can exercise your free will, and consequences do occur, whether it's good or bad. You reap what you sow. And you see, you're going to reap 100-fold, 10-fold, 1,000-fold, more. So as I continue planting the seeds of the gospel, planting those seeds, I know for sure that 100-fold will come back. I'm not looking for monetary or money or any of that. I'm looking for souls. This is all about winning souls, planting the seeds of the gospel to save more souls so that people can urgently say yes to Jesus first forever. Amen. So we say Jesus forever. And simply stated, God has ordained a framework or bound within each of your free work. It still works. Amen. Free will is so nice. Free will is great. So yeah, but dealing in this with the sovereignty of God, there is a wonderful truth that God has revealed to you in His holy word. And that is that He is working all things out for your good, for the good of all that truly love Him, that follow Him. He works good things out for you. And God is moving the whole universe towards a climactic day known as the Great Day of Redemption. And this is the climactic day when the present heaven and earth will be remade into the new heavens and the new earth, recreated to be perfect, eternal home for all believers who truly love, believe, and follow the Lord our God and Jesus and accept Him as our Lord and our Savior. God, He is moving events and working all things out for His good of His dear people, of you and me. And no matter what confronts a genuine believers, hardships, trials, misfortunes, accidents, disease, suffering, God will strengthen and help His follower, and He will work all things out for the believer's good. And the sovereignty of God is one of the greatest truth of this universe. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-wealthy. And listen to what God's word has to say about sovereignty. This part is great. We go back into the Word of God and we love it because God's Word transforms us and builds us up, and it never lets us down. So let's get to know who God is. Matthew chapter 5, verse 35. Matthew chapter 5, verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Do not swear at all. Neither by the heaven, for it is God's throne. You see, this God that we serve, he is the God above it all. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords, Alpha and Omega. He is our King, our God, and he is our Heavenly Father. If he's your father and you're his sons and daughters, that means you receive his inheritance. That means you are kings and queens, prince and princesses. That means you are in a better place. But you must accept the gift. You must accept the gift. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. It says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, ever. Amen. So, God loves all people. And he loves people, but he doesn't love the sin. He rejects the sin. Actually, sin cannot come to him because he's the holy and perfect God. And so, you cannot be judging others and saying, oh, you're sinning here and here and here, here and there. No, and then, so, you don't belong here. No, we are all sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, the punishment of sin, it's death. It's separation from God. But God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. So we ask God to lead us not into temptation. That's the Lord's Prayer. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the devil. Deliver us from these temptations. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. God made the world and all these things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples, and made with hands. Amen. He's not dwelling in temples made with hands. He's not put into a box. God is bigger than that. He's bigger than the heavens and the earth. You think that God lives in heaven? He is in heaven. He is on earth. But he's not in boxed inside. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created it. He's the creator. So he's above and beyond heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them who loves God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did not forsake, he did not for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed in the image of his Son, to be like his Son, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. Wow. God sent his Son, Jesus, his precious Son, to die on the cross, to be buried, and to raise again, to raise up in victory, defeating sin and death. And we are to follow after him, to conform after the image of his Son, Jesus. And that's why we study the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why we study it and allow it to enter our hearts and our mind, to be like, more like Jesus. To love like Jesus, to care like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, so that we can declare his name and let other people know his love. Amen. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. All enemies under his feet. He will reign. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. For this reason, God has highly exalted him and bestowed his name above every other name. Whose name? Jesus' name above every other name, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of the things of heaven, of the things on earth. Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and those who are under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow. And acknowledge Jesus as Lord, as victory, as glory. Amen. And this is the God that we serve. And this is the God that we follow after. Because he is the highest of the high. And he's the best. So that's why we continue building our faith upon his firm foundation. Whoa, look at the time. Look at the time. Let's do one more or two more. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Exodus chapter 15, verse 18. Know therefore this day, and consider it in your heart, that the Lord, he is God in the heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none out. He is Lord over it all. Amen. Both riches and honor come from God, and he reigns over all. And his hand is powerful and mighty, and in his hand he makes great and gives strength unto you, unto all. Amen. And then, wow, there's so much. For the Lord Most High is great and keen over all the earth. Consume them. Yeah, the Lord shall bless you, and all the ends shall fear God. Amen. Glory to God. I'm just reading from Bible verses right now. Isaiah 66 verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place I rest? He's Lord. He's King. Amen. Wow. Let me pray for us. I believe that you should accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He is calling out to you today. He's saying, come back to me. Come closer to me. Let me build you up. Let me be your king. I am already God over it all. Do not reject me no longer. I love you and I care for you. And I want to make a way for you when there is no way. I am the Lord your God. And I'm calling you back into my presence. So, Lord God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for everything that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that your power, your knowledge, wisdom, and everything that you have, your protection, provision, everything would be upon my brothers and sisters in Christ here, that you would grant them all that they need and help them through these trials, tribulations, and difficult times, Lord God. Let you be their number one God. Let you be the one they say, Jesus first forever, Lord God. And for those who want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this with me. Dear Lord, come into my life. I believe that you died and rose again. That you died and rose from the dead, and that you are keen over all. Lord, come into my life, transform me, and I commit my life to you, to reading your word, to building my life upon your firm foundation, and to praying to you every day and building your community. Lord, I love you so much. In Jesus' most holy name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Woohoo! When you reject God, you say no to Jesus. Pretty simple. You say, nope, I don't want him. I just want to go after my own ways. I want to chase money. I want to chase the things of the world. I want to chase girls. I want to just gain my life away. I want to watch Netflix. I don't want to build my life upon Jesus. I don't want to read his word or pray to him. That's what happens when you reject Jesus. Good question. If you have any questions, let me know. Because we have, like me, maybe 5 more minutes to answer more questions. And then I will answer four more questions. Wow, 1 hour, 14 minutes. What are some difficult faith testing circumstances that you face in your life? You see, I struggle with gaming. But by the grace of God, I didn't game for 4 days. Ha ha, woohoo, yeah. But, you know, I also struggle with binge watching. So, I just go from one sin to another. But it's a distraction. But God is still really working on my life too. I'm just appearing, showing up for him, trying to be faithful to him. And so I finished my series. I skipped to the very end. And then now I'm here, ready to build his kingdom. Amen. Yeah, it's not a sin, but it's a distraction, you see, from what God wants me to do. And I have a lot of things to do. Daniel says, amen. Awesome. Amen. So faith testing circumstances. So I really need to not neglect God's work in my life. I work hard. I do. But glory to God. What are some ways your character and faith have grown as a result of these challenges? You see, back then, I used to just game all day long. I used to just go with the flow. But now I have direction. Now I can say no to it. Now I can say, it's taking too much time, wasting my time, and it's not fruitful. Now I can play the game of ministry. I always get to the top. I'm a winner. That's why I game. But now I play the game of ministry, saving more souls. That's a game for me. That's a game. Even though it's not supposed to be a game. But I don't treat it as a game. It's a serious thing. But I just say, okay, what did I learn from my game? What did I learn strategies? Or where can I emulate what's successful and not? And then try to apply it into my own life in order to reach the lost. And what does God want me to do? What's a game plan that God has taught me? God is the best game planner. He is the starter of multiplying disciples. He's the most successful person ever. Jesus, he started that multi-level marketing. He started disciple making disciples. And he started with biblical principles. And you have to start with Jesus first in order to be successful in your life. Jesus first forever. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Someone has said, how did you achieve this attention towards God and His Word, brother? You see, I didn't achieve it. God came to me. And I was at my lowest. I was completely isolated, in toxic relationship, and also just lost, far away from church, far away from God. But by God's divine grace, He broke me away from that toxic relationship and rebuilt me. He gave me, took me from being isolated into His community, not isolation. He took me from being broken into being made whole again. He took me from being lost to being found. He took me from being blind to being able to see. He took me from a place that it was just so low, so rock bottom, into a life where I'm free. He's given me, and not only that, He's given me a beautiful wife and a baby pan coming along in June 20th. In a month, I'm going to be a father, officially a father. I'm a father already, but still, my first son. And then He's given me work, a job, full-time job. He's given me just everything that I need. And He's given me you, too, and this platform to share His Word. And so now I'm just reading the Word of God, saying this is the tool for you, the Bible, the basic instructions before you leave earth, the Bible, the tool which empowers you to grow you and to lead you down the right path. Amen. Question number 3. Something about your accent. Can't get enough, brother. Well, you see, I was born in California. Then I went overseas to China for 4 years as a missionary kid. I went to Texas for 1 year in 6th grade. And then from 7th to 12th grade, I went to Taiwan. And then all my life, I've been deaf, okay? I've been hearing impaired. And being hearing impaired, you normally can't hear the high frequency sound like S. The high frequency sound. So then it's really difficult. I need to enunciate it and I need to speak it clearly. So by grace, the grace of God, He's allowed me to still speak. A lot of hearing impaired people, or a lot of deaf people, they have to sign. I don't know how to sign language. They have to, they go into like different culture, deaf culture and those stuff. But I didn't get into it. By God's grace, my parents made the right decision to allow me to speak, to preach, to speak, and to go into a hearing school and to be challenged. So that this is all God's faithfulness and how He orchestrated my life. It's all God. I give Him all glory. So the Bible is your tool. Amen. Question number 3. What is the... time to go. What is something a brother or sister that you have encouraged you in moment of fear? And then I'll do pull-ups too. And what kind of words can build people up? Okay. Let's do some pull-ups. Okay, you guys can count how many pull-ups I do. I try to encourage you guys to stay healthy. To stay healthy spiritually, mentally, physically. So, let's do pull-ups. You can count for me. So, what is something that your brother and sister that encourage you in a moment of fear? Well, my brother and sisters, they encourage me by praying for me. By reading the Word of God. By coming alongside with me,
cheering me up, saying, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. That we should live by faith, not by sight. The truth of God. Oh, I'm tired, guys. Okay. Alright, guys. Alright, so number four. What kind of words can build people up? The word of God builds people up. Our words are to encourage each other, not to break each other down. Our words are to uplift each other, to bring each other out of the darkness into the light of Christ. Our words are to just be positive and to be grateful. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Amen. Amen. So rejoice always. And then pray continually. I praise you, Lord, you are so good. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I pray for you. Let me pray for you. Lord God, may your power be upon my brothers and sisters. May you grow them and lead them and be strong and courageous in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you see, God loves you for who you are. And God, when you root yourself in God, you know your identity. You let God define you. You submit to him and you say, God, you are my savior. And if you created me, then you know who I am. I ain't gonna let the world define who I am. I ain't gonna let my feelings define who I am. I'm not gonna define who I am. I'm gonna let God say who I am. God says I'm a child of God. God says I am part of his kingdom. God says that I'm worthy. And God says I'm a man or woman of God. Or a boy and a girl of God. I'm a male or female. God says who we are. And we don't need the world to define who we are. We don't use any of that. When you know who your master is, you listen. You heed to his words. And you allow him to define you. So that you no longer have to be so confused. Oh, I think I'm feeling this way. So therefore I am this way. I'm feeling like a cat. So I'm a cat. I'm feeling like a dog. Woof, woof, woof. So I'm a dog. No. Let God define who you are. And you, my friends, mighty men and women of God, that's what you're going towards. And that's what we're aiming for in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah. Well, my brothers and sisters, and Sophie, and everyone, I love you guys. And yes, I still have that food time I need to go eat with my wife. But may God bless you and be with you. And yeah, just send me the stuff. Yeah, glory to God. Yeah, you're a child of God. Just say I'm a child of God. And then seek who Jesus is. Amen. And then lust is a thing. Not only everyone struggle with lust. Almost. 90% of the people struggle with lust. Some of the flesh. Whether, it doesn't matter what whatever gender you are. No, everyone does. And then you must overcome. You must say no to the devil and resist the devil and resist temptation. And the devil will flee from you. And God will empower you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you for joining me. And thank you for the like, the thumbs up. Thank you for the follow, for the subscribe, and thank you for joining me on this journey as we do daily devotion every day in Jesus' name. Amen. May you guys have an awesome, awesome day, an awesome time. May you just experience more of Jesus, more of God in your life. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you. Deep, deep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Shelly. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Cherry. And Sophie, you're not alone. You're not alone. Stay strong. And we're here to give you clarity, too. But, you know, time has passed. I must go. So, yeah. I know. You're not alone. You know, this is going to be a journey. We do this day by day. Amen. Amen. 1 hour and 25 minutes. Wow. Okay. Take care, guys.